chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I loved to learn. I hated the environment of you have to learn what I want you to learn. And so, anyway, that's the contrarian in me. Got to be careful of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I actually, I'm going to read the whole chapter. But I'm only going to cover 8 verses, not even fully do that. But I want you to, just this whole chapter, it's only a column in my Bible. And so, it's super interesting, shocking, but boy, there's a lot of truth in here. It explains why God would have this included in His Word for our good 2,000 years later. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. This is God, through Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, very young, probably 5 years old. And Corinth was like New Orleans or, Vegas, Las Vegas. Yeah, that's a good one. And, bad. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Verse 2. And you are puffed up, speaking again to the church, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, Paul, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for I, Paul, verily as absent in body, so he says, I'm not there. But present in spirit, so I'm telling you, I'm not there physically, but I am in spirit. I have judged already, as though I were present. So he said, I know what God would want you to do. Verse 3 again, for I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. You guys need to do something to the guy that's not doing right. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, when they assemble, the next time they meet, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver. Let's start verse 4. I kind of butchered that. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. And he's referring back to the feast of Passover, feast of unleavened bread. He said, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, that's a letter, an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any brother that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, which such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do? For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? I don't have anything. I'm not judging those that are without, but in the church. Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Title of the message this afternoon, just puffed up sin. Probably going to do a two-parter. Next week I'm going to talk about church discipline and all that comes with it and why all this matters, So first, what is the issue? The issue is spiritualizing the acceptance of sin, tolerance. Now just look at verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. The behavior that's happening here by a person that's a member of the church at Corinth is worse than what the world does. And so what it says, that one should have his mother's wife, I'm convinced it's his stepmother, right? Or his father's wife. Did I say his mother's wife? His father's wife. That one should have his father's wife, right? I guess in our world. So anyway, that one should have his father's wife, and the way the Bible talks about that, it would be his stepmother. So there's a person in their church having an inappropriate relationship with his stepmom. It's evil, it's wicked, and he said, the world knows better than that. The world doesn't do that. And you are puffed up. How are they puffed up? because they haven't mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. Here's the response. They should mourn. Now, how are they puffed up? You've heard me talk about this enough in the past, but I'll review for those that haven't. Is, again, it's the nothing changes. Nothing changes. Do we not deal with a misunderstanding of love today? We do. We are to love everyone, our enemies and those that will love us back, and if there's anything in between, we are to love all people. But if there's got to be some understanding, right? So I'm going to show you a couple things that I'm going to talk about, and I'm not sure what order, but sin always leads to destruction, and compassion versus condemnation. And so, but it's this. It's they were so puffed up that they thought by ignoring it that they were showing love, that they were showing tolerance, that they were honoring God. And I get it. I know you guys, you don't believe me when I tell you this. I'm a conflict avoider. I've said that a couple times from the pulpit. Not one of you believe me. My wife believes me. I tell you, she says, you should. And I'll be like, when you're pastor, go ahead. I need her advice. I'm glad she does that, right? It's good for me sometimes. But I don't do it in this spirit that I'm just, I know this. And so when I say a conflict of order, I would rather avoid it. But when I know it's not going to go away, I will address it. So generally I don't run away from it, but I prefer not to deal with it. But what happens is they were puffed up and they weren't bothered by it. And Damien, why should they be bothered by it? That's it. It's the only reason it matters. If there's not a God, nothing matters. There is a God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But that's why it matters. This matters, and why should they deal with the difficult? And you see here that God, through Paul, is saying, remove this man from membership. Is that clear? I mean, if it wasn't, look at verse 13. But them that are without God judges, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Put him away. He says that in verse 2. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. And then it even goes so far as to say, don't eat with him. You don't fellowship with this guy until he gets right. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to contradict Scripture, because if I do, I'm wrong. I don't think it means that you can't meet with that person and with the ends and the means to reconcile. But I'm telling you this, any fellowship or just enjoyment, and it typically involves food, no place for it. It's not shunning, okay? I want to make sure of that. We stay involved, we stay engaged, we love them, but it's not the same. Hey, I'd like to come and let's sit down and open the Word of God. Let's search the Scriptures. And you can meet with them, but it's not the same. This is nowhere to say we should shun people. But God says clearly they should be removed because the honor of Christ. That's why it matters. That's why it matters. We should sorrow because sin always leads to destruction. It is when we... So, again, I want to make sure of this. I don't think we should be rebuke mongers. Hey, Keaton. I saw you, and you know, I'm telling you everything that you're doing wrong, and Clay. I don't know, we have enough time. And then Gerald. Oh, it's just, no. And then, that's not my job. But if I see a brother, and you know, it would generally, so if I saw a sister, a woman, I would tell Deb, and I'd say, I need your help. And I, you know, so ladies, just know this, that a lot of times, I don't know, I can't even remember the last time I've sicked her on somebody. Well, I shouldn't even say that, but blame me. I think women can deal with women better, and women know women, and I'll be involved, and I have that responsibility as a pastor, but I think it would be better if a woman addressed a woman. They know each other better, so, you know, it doesn't always have to be my wife. I could have Deb get somebody else, and that's probably what I would do, but it is, Randall, if I knew you were doing something destructive, How much do I have to dislike you not to tell you, don't do that? Right? Now, I need to do it with humility. I need to do it with meekness. I need to do it with the reality that, but by the grace of God, there go I. But you see, the fact that they were puffed up, they misunderstood it. They were letting this man destroy his life and destroy a life of another. And then all of the tentacles and all of the impact it has, because your sin impacts way more than just you. Right? So sin always leads to destruction. But we ought to have compassion versus condemnation. Right? And so I tell you this, we should never condone sin. Okay? Front row scholars, what do I mean we should never condone sin? Anybody? No? Are you guys all homeschooled? No? Okay, well, makes you homeschooler look better, that person going to school. You're paying a lot of money for her not to know what condone is. No, I'm just, it's okay. Condone, it means to approve of. Okay? So, I should have probably used approve sin, right? So, I don't know, condone came to my mind because I wanted to stretch your vocabulary. But we should never approve of sin, right? And I struggled with that for years in my life. I struggle with that, particularly parenting. And how to love a child that's not doing what's right. I always, and this was wrong, I thought, I'm condoning their behavior. No, you love them. You don't have to shun them. There's consequences, and I'm not telling you how you should deal with every situation, right? Mine was so mild compared to situations I know of that I never want to condone sin. Never want to condone sin. But here's what, we must warn the sinner with a contrite and broken spirit, right? I show you this verse here. Wherefore, 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When we go, I could have taken you to Galatians that talked about, you know, dealing with a brother gently, with humility and meekness. It's when we deal with people, we need to deal with people with kindness and love. And if you've never had that issue, if God's kept you from that, right, it's then give God the glory, right? Give God the glory, right? I mean, I deal with guys, and so I don't think I can say this from the pulpit, but I will tell them this. Acting out on your sin, so I'm going to explain this before I go into this. Acting out on your sin is worse than thinking about it. Okay? I want to be clear with that. Okay? So, but thinking on sin is sin. The Bible says that, right? So I'm not going to go into specifics, but it's this. I'm trying to think of an example that doesn't get too close to home. It is, here's what happens. We think, because I've thought about something and I haven't done it, that I'm better than the person that's done it. Okay? Just trying to, getting so generic, it's going to be useless probably. But it's this, it's the grace of God. It's the restraint of God. And we have to be so careful that in every situation, right? So on even on my marijuana rant this morning, right? I do that because I'm trying to help you. I just don't want you to buy a lie, right? It's this. I praise the Lord. And I'm going to say it and you're going to take it the wrong way. I praise the Lord. I've never tasted alcohol. I don't want to taste it if it tastes like it smells. And you know what I do? You know, but there's been more foolish men than me that haven't had alcohol and then they started at my age or older. I'm not better than anyone. That's the goodness and grace of God that's ever kept me from that, and it just kept me from problems, and I'm better off for it. Every study that comes out says, oh, wow, what do you know? It's never good. Never good. I have more studies than you have time to read. And so, you know, if I then deal with somebody that's struggling and I deal with them in a judgmental way that says, you know, just as though I'm putting them down and lifting myself up, I have forgotten about the goodness of God. And the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to deal with these things, but I want to tell you, we ought not to be the rebuke mongers. This ought to be rare. This is a very serious thing. You follow this? When we look at we'll review it, but some of you need to hear it next week when we're going to look at church membership and we're going to look at rules of discipline. This is the kind of level that church discipline's involved with. You follow me? And this person, when they say remove him, apparently some had addressed it, and he refused. The only reason I'm saying that, because I think they would have followed Matthew 18. Someone go to them one-on-one, someone go to them two-on-one, and then they gave up. I can't prove that, but I would believe that. If they're going to remove him, they would have followed scriptural direction as well. But I want you to understand this. It is, do it privately, do it lovingly, do it with humility, and it ought not to be that often. You should be part of their life where they'll respect you. And I want to set us all up for this. Let's say Randall comes up. Randall, you've earned it. I mean, all the men, you guys have earned it, right? You can come up to me, and I'm not going to like it. Who likes to be told they're a failure? Okay, that's how men look at it, right? I want it. I'm telling you that right now because it will help me. It will benefit me. I need your help. Don't just ignore it. Don't just tell me, I saw that coming a mile away. Why didn't you go up and lovingly try to rescue him? Try to help him. Oh, it's a messy situation. It's not good. And a lot of times they don't listen. And so then you justify and go, well, they never listen anyway. Well, just try again. If they were going to a fire, you'd do it again, wouldn't you? Sin's worse. And if they're lost, there's the ultimate fire they have to deal with, right? So that's the issue. They were spiritualizing the acceptance of sin. So I tell you this, church discipline's painful. That's what this is asking for. Let me just walk you through this. We're going to go through it in greater detail next week, but look at this. Let's just read verse 1, 2, and 3 so you can follow it. It is reported commonly there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That's the problem. That's the sin. Verse 2, this is the sin of the church. The church responded sinfully, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. They're not upset about it, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you, from among you, from their membership. For verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. He says, the next time you gather together, so look, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver in such a one unto Satan. And so church discipline's painful for the individual. And look at this, verse 5. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I believe this with all my heart, right? So, it goes back to the whole everything of what was the Holy Spirit sent for. The Holy Spirit was sent for comforter, paraclete, to come alongside the Lord's churches. And so, as a member of one of the Lord's churches, right? And I let the Lord determine all that, right? But as a member of the Lord's churches, there's special protection. There's special guidance. There's special leading. There's special protection, because when you're removed, the devil, according to this scripture, the devil has more access to their flesh. Look at verse 5. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Church discipline's painful. Now, I use the term church discipline, and so let me just tell you this. It's removal from membership. It doesn't have to be in our bylaws, and so this is my conflict avoidance. I'm probably not the perfect thing in the world. But in our bylaws, if there's somebody that doesn't have extenuating circumstances, hasn't been here for 6 months, they're removed from membership. And I know this is probably, I tell you this, I don't normally send a letter, because it's like, if I haven't been here for 6 months and we've tried and I've just been like, hey, by the way, you've been removed. I don't feel like kicking them in the teeth when they leave, right? So, but I want to tell you this, that's as impactful as this. They have now been given access to the flesh by the devil. Because if God's going to get your attention quickly, go to the doctor, get diagnosed with cancer, and he'll get your attention. God gets our attention physically, right? And the Lord allows it. It's painful for the individual, but you're going to see the whole point of it, right? It's it says that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, right? So it is, you know, because what you do is you treat them as a heathen and a publican. We're going to go through all that next week. But the objective is that there's going to be pain, that Satan will have more access to them for the destruction of the flesh, and it's pain for the individual. It's painful for the church, lost fellowship. And it is, we've only done this a couple of times. I remember when we did it, I'm not even going to go into the specifics, that some of you were here. It was, I hadn't done a good enough job teaching them, and they were shocked, so I put off the vote. And then for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I taught on church discipline. And I wanted them to understand it's the most loving thing we could do. We aren't, you know, so removing somebody from membership is not to kick somebody in the teeth. It's not to say, we don't want you. It's not to say anything, but this is, if you aren't going to be part of us, or you're acting inappropriate, and you won't repent. See, you guys heard me this morning. I said, I made it clear. So there's several people I'm dealing with, and I think I can deal with them behind the scenes that are struggling with marijuana. They aren't even candidates for church discipline, in my opinion. They're trying and they're striving, and I'm working with them. I'm trying to help them, and they're bothered by it, and I love that. You know that? That's the key. Are you struggling, right? And so this church discipline thing isn't like, oh man, no, you're not fast enough, my friend. No, it's let's work together. Let's help each other. And we're battling this flesh. And so not even a candidate, because they have a heart of and a desire. And I know they can overcome it. We can overcome our sin. But we need to be compassionate. Have you overcome your sin? Some, yeah. Total? No. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering, and we need to be as well? But the point is when there's resistance, right? And so the lost fellowship is we would have to say this, we can't be friends like we used to. I'll meet with you, so I'm thinking this is okay, we can have a discussion. I'll meet with you to have a Bible study. Let's study the Bible, and we can be agenda-free. The best thing for any person is to be in the Word of God. But I will tell you this, in terms of fellowship, in terms of eating with them, the Bible's clear. We ought not to eat with fornicators. They ought not to be our friends. You can have a Bible study with them. It's far different. It is, that's what it's talking about. But it's painful, right? Church discipline is painful, and I don't know if they're conflict of orders, but it's painful. I don't have this. It should have said this. One last point under this is we must act in love. Look at verse 8. So there should be a point under there. Would be kind of far left if you're worried about the indentions. I don't know if my secretary didn't get it right. He says, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. You see? But with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's strive for the honor of Christ with sincerity and truth, not with malice. Malice is the intent to do harm. Wickedness, let's not respond with sin with sin. And but we must act in love. Why does it matter? Verse 6 tells us this, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The widespread impact of unaddressed sin. The widespread impact of unaddressed sin. And so, you know, look, if I start mentioning marijuana, so I've mentioned that name. I don't think I've ever said the name marijuana from the pulpit ever before, have I? So if I start mentioning every other week, you guys need to say, hey, buddy. You know, but it's this. I just tell you this because it's becoming an epidemic. But I'm not going to mention it. I don't think it's my hobby horse. I don't want it to be my hobby horse, but it is. I addressed it because they're after your kids. All right, and everything. It's the coolest thing, right? I told you it took me forever when people said they smoke. And I was always like, cigarettes? Like, I didn't know anybody was that dumb anymore. And when somebody tells you they smoke, oh, it's marijuana. That's what they mean 99 times out of 100. So it's why I addressed it this morning. I don't expect to address it, but, you know, the beautiful thing about marijuana is you can smell it. You can't hide it. If your kids say, I just ran into a skunk, they didn't. Okay? And you need to say, well, we need to have a sit-down. You want me to call a pastor? They'll listen to you rather than sit down with me. I'll try to trust you. But your kids are, they're going to be sucked into it. What I have found, so unaddressed sin, the wide impact of unaddressed sin, is the issue is I can get people to agree and they've got other people. Apparently, most people don't smoke marijuana alone. They got to smoke it with somebody else and they'll draw people in. And so I will tell you this, then you need to separate your friendships so that it's not an issue. But if they don't address this, this is what verse 6, remember we talked about leaven so much as we're in Exodus. Your glorying is not good, verse 6. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? A little sin, a little unaddressed sin will destroy God's people, will destroy his church. And so it might be okay, I don't know. If you're uncomfortable, come and talk to me about it. You don't have to give me names, and sometimes I might say I need to know the names, but I'll help you understand if you're confused, or my wife will, that, okay, is that something we should address? Probably not. Where I think, oh yeah, it needs to be addressed. And so a lot of times I'll ask people, what was their spirit? Was their spirit bragging about sin? If I hear about somebody bragging about sin, that gets a completely different response from me. Or were they broken about it? And then I probably don't need to, you know, pile on, right? We just need to pray for them, need to love them, need to encourage them, need to encourage them to keep assembling together, right? It's the important message of this morning, you know, when you deal with a specific thing like that. You know what? If you're struggling with sin, come to church. If you're not right with God, come to church. If you not happy with God, come to church. Because at least you're confronted with the Bible. I love this. And so I love Anthony. Anthony's just, you know, and so he just said, I'm glad I'm here. I feel better. He didn't come to feel better today. He came because he wanted to honor the King. But you know what? Of course I would expect you to feel better. I mean, I'm an amazing preacher. Just kidding, but it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Jesus is here specially. You know, it's going to encourage you. Even if the preacher irritates you. The Lord is here. We glorify him in song. We get to pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, enjoy the fellowship, and it's clean, it's sweet, it's good. But then we have to do the hard things. And so I don't want us to be a church where everybody's going and pointing out everybody else's sin, right? If it's serious, we might have to address it. But I really believe this. Most of it can be dealt with privately. And we can help people. When I look at all the people that are sitting here today, I don't know what you're involved with. I don't know of any absolute fakes in our midst. I think you want to do what's right. Doesn't mean you can't be deceived. Doesn't mean you're not being drowned in sin and temptation. And so we're not here to beat you up. We're here to help you. Every single person in here, I think you would agree. If I could push a button, I wouldn't sin. God didn't make it that way. So we help one another. An important passage as a church, because the honor of Christ is at stake. And then I tell you this, it's the reputation of Christ. And I give you this passage, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is a beautiful passage, right? He's talking about the husband and wife, but he's really talking about the church. It says at the end, Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a daunting command, men, that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it, his church, with the washing of water by the word, so cleansing it through his word, that he, Christ, might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is, it's for the honor of Christ. That's why it matters. That's why I mean, that's why that the thing in the gym was far worse than I want to imagine, because I had a Hope Baptist Church shirt on. And so I ran, you know, the rest of the time like this. But it's because it misrepresents Christ. People are watching and looking for excuses. It's not good. That's why it matters. That's why it matters for the church of Corinth. If you understood fornication, not an issue in Corinth. Wives, put up with it. I'm not going to go into details of it. Just it was such a wicked city. It's a lot like America. Fornication is not a big deal anymore. Who did I look? I don't think it was anybody here. I wasn't. And I remember who it was. I said, you know what? You need to get married. They weren't that old. And I said, because if this is the woman you know, this is the woman God has for you, why in the world would you wait? You don't need much money. You know, I know you need a little bit more money now, but not that much. Work a couple jobs. Get married. Get married, do what's right, the reputation of Christ. And then, what should we do? What should we do? And then I'm finished. I've tried to be easy on you this afternoon. Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And so, what should we do? Get our eyes on Jesus, keep the feast. Remember, that's what the Passover and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread was. It was about the Passover lamb. I mean, it's mentioned in verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. It's this: get your eyes on Christ, keep the feast, and then walk in holiness. Right? That's the whole purpose. Get our eyes on Jesus and keep the feast. Do it the right way. So how should you respond when you come to church? If you're convicted, come to church, and then you know what? Morning by morning, His mercies are new. Do what's right today. I told some guys this week, I said, you need to help each other. You need to help each other. Help each other do what's right, so that we don't eventually get down such a terrible place that it becomes a church issue. I want you to understand this. There is great blessings. And I'll preach this when I'm not a pastor. There's great blessings in being part of the church. We have no idea how much the Holy Spirit protects us from the devil and attacks on our flesh. You don't have to go to Hope Baptist Church. But I will tell you this. You need to be part of a church. And I'm telling you this. I'm going to tell you to be part of a Baptist church. And because not all Baptist churches are good. But I'd tell you to be part of a Baptist church. They generally preach the true gospel. You can go find out. And they want to base things on the Word of God, and Christ is preeminent. I'm not saying only Baptist churches have that. There's some other churches, and I leave that all in the Lord's hands. But I'm just telling you this, is you need a church home. I need a church home. And the worst thing that could ever happen to us is to be removed. Is that the worst thing that ever happened to us as a Christian? Be removed from the membership of a church if you're a Christian? One of them. I think being shelved might be worse, but maybe they go hand in hand. I tell you this, that I'm thankful. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, but you see, this was public sin. Everybody knew about it. And so they had to deal with it in a public way. This is not that we want to bring all of our sin before the church. It's not. But you do understand this. We'll talk about this later as we're in this same chapter. You understand this. It said this, and it's actually in our bylaws. We are the judge, jury, and executioner of issues we have one with another, for those that are members. We have submitted to this church rather than taking our disputes out to a judge when it's amongst us, right? I'm telling you. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I love this. I'm talking to people that are your members here, or I love when we have guests. You're members at a good church. It's good. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that you're part of a church. But again, I'm not saying this, and I'll close. I'm not just saying just because your name's on the membership roll, all is well. God's smarter than we are. He's got it all figured out. And he didn't ask me to figure it out. I do fear there's many on Baptist church membership rolls across the world that are lost. Just being on the membership roll, see, God sorts all that. It's being part of a church, and we'll find out how does that happen, and then how do we deal with conflict. That is serious. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scripture.